So as I mentioned, the homily today is to focus on the Lord's teaching on authority. Just a little word about, that teaching, call no one on earth your father. We Catholics get a lot of that back, don't we? We from our non-Catholic friends, they often will say, well, you call your priest father. And, one question you might say, well, what do you call your earthly male parent? Father, or, he's my father. I say, well, but Jesus said, call no one on earth your father. No one. No one means, that's a pretty big category, right? So I think that what we want to say is, look, Jesus is not trying to banish a word from the dictionary, right? He's trying, though, to, there's a tendency among those who have authority to like titles and trappings and remarks and respect and all these kinds of things that tend to go with authority. And to some degree, we who are under authority should respect and show signs like that. But it, for those who have authority, to crave that and to accumulate and to insist on these things is what the Lord certainly is teaching against here, rather than trying to banish a word from the dictionary. In fact, if you're not supposed to call anyone on earth your father, and likewise teacher and rabbi, all these titles are, he's saying, away with them all. If you're not supposed to do that, well, there are over 200 occurrences in the New Testament of the word father being used to refer not to God the Father, but to some earthly male human being. And obviously, therefore, if Jesus meant to banish the word, St. Paul never got the memo. Neither did John or James and Peter. And even Jesus himself often speaks of your fathers and so on. So again, it isn't to banish a word so much as to be very, very careful to avoid the tendency to accumulate titles and trappings for their own sake. All right. More on that in a moment. Let's begin now to look, though, at this teaching on authority. Where we begin is the tenure of lawful authority. There is authority in our world and in the church. Jesus does not try to say, well, nobody's in charge, or I'm in charge and nobody else is. He does indicate here that there is such a thing as lawful authority in this world in which we live. So he says here to the disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe everything whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example. Now, eventually, of course, the Lord is going to send the apostles out with authority of their own from him. But for now, he says, you are to respect legitimate, lawful authority, whether you like them or not. You are to observe and do what they tell you, but don't follow their example. But listen to any lawful request. So again, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but it is our duty, certainly as citizens, to obey lawful authority, to obey all just laws and so on, and not just in political leaders, but also in our families. Children are obliged to respect the authority of their parents. Likewise, in the church we have authority. We are obliged to respect the authority that is in the church. This idea that we often have today, we sort of live in a culture, it's always been a little bit of this, but it's gotten very, very high-pitched in the last 10 or 15 years, that we're very verbally disrespectful of authority. Children are often bold towards their parents. We also see that even in our political discourse, we use very invective and very hateful and hurtful terms very often to refer to civil authorities, to politicians and others who have roles of authority in our world. And we certainly can and should have some disagreements with them, but we need to differ and speak about those things in a way that's respectful, not disrespectful. The Lord says there is lawful authority, and it says that we are to, be respectful for them and do what they tell us if it's lawful. We don't have to agree on every point, and we should make our disagreements known, especially in the political world. This is part of the genius of our system, right? Where we speak to different issues with different views, and there is an expectation that there's going to be some public debate about what is best. But the disrespect And the dismissiveness and the refusal to even listen is not really fit for a Christian. And this has been becoming increasingly common in the last couple of decades. Now, with that in mind, let me just read to you some other scriptures that speak to us about how a Christian should regard those who have lawful authority. Now, before I read them, some people say, yeah, but what about the kind of authorities we have now? I want you to know something. These texts were all written at a time when the emperor was Nero. Now, if any of you know about Nero, okay, let's not say, well, these things don't apply because, you know, we don't like the guy in charge. Nero was on the throne, and he was already starting a persecution against Christians at the time. But nevertheless, these texts come to us in the New Testament. From Romans chapter 13, St. Paul says, "Let every person be subject to governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment from him." Or again, from 1 Peter in the second chapter, Peter writes, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men." Or again, as we read in the letter to Titus, St. Paul writing again, "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good." Notice again, whatever is good. We are never to do what is evil. If authority commands us to do something we know is evil, we cannot obey it. But we are to obey just laws. And so again, we read just a couple more for you here. Probably the one that's best known. St. Paul says, "I urge, therefore, that requests and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, but especially for kings and those in authority, so that we may live a peaceable and godly life." And again, just two more now. We read in 1 Peter, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." Or again, from Matthew, Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what belongs to God." So then, with all of this before us, again, we want to say that we need to be part of a political discourse that is willing to engage in important moral and social issues of our day, but we are to do it with greater respect than is sometimes evident in our culture in these current decades. So as I say, we all get a little angry or frustrated, all right, but we strive our best, first of all, to pray for everyone who has authority, and secondly, to, in every way, engage in respectful references and discourse with them. This is the Christian way, and we ought to curb some of the excesses that we sometimes see in this. Now then, I think that this would also be true in the church. There's a tendency for us to get angry with certain bishops or with the Pope or with someone in authority. And again, every now and again, if I'm tempted to get a little angry at the bishop or the Pope, I might just say, well, I don't run a perfect parish. Somebody say amen. So in other words, if I'm so quick to criticize and I'm not so quick to remember that I'm not getting everything done perfectly either, it might be a good little bit of humility is sometimes helpful in our quick criticisms. We're quick to criticize and we're slow to pray. And we're certainly slow to engage in what we might call a more constructive kind of a dialogue. So let's try in all these ways. Now again, we also, one other area, of course, is parents. And children, they're all off in the Sunday school now, I mean, off in their own little things now, but children ought to respect and honor and reverence their parents. Now, none of you who are parents are perfect, but you know, we need to start becoming clearer to simply refuse to tolerate some of the disrespect that is directed at elders today. It's just not correct. If there is no respect, there can be no teaching. And if there's no teaching, children are raised and they're incorrigible and they lack virtue. None of us are perfect parents. I'm certainly not a perfect pastor. But respect and honor are important qualities in our culture that are too often dismissed today. And people feel righteous when they do it. And it's just not what God envisions for us. So again, these are some thoughts on the Lord is first, his first teaching on authority is that there is a tenure. That is to say, there is such a thing as lawful authority. It does exist. And it should, other things being equal, be respected and when just things are required, should be obeyed. Now, we see, though, therefore, though the Lord begins to turn his attention to those who have authority, and here I want you to be careful to hear that not only that authorities should do this, but to remember that you have authority. Except for the youngest children, most all of us have some degree of authority. We're not just under authority, we have authority. Maybe at the workplace, maybe because you are a parent or a grandparent. Sometimes we have authority just because we're older. So all of us have some authority, and all of us are under authority. And therefore, try to hear what the Lord is teaching here from both sides of the equation. Because it's too easy to say, yeah, those people in authority better be listening. Oops, I have authority. Silly me. So we move from the tenure of lawful authority to the tyranny of arrogant authority. The Lord says, be careful, don't follow their example. It says they preach, but they don't practice. They tie up heavy burdens to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them or to help them. Now, here we start to see that the Lord is basically teaching, and I'm going to pick this up again at the end, so I just want to mention it in passing, but that authority exists to serve those who are subordinated to that authority, not to lord it over, not to simply have titles and trappings and say, I get to do everything my way because I'm in charge. And everyone is burdened and weighed down by just the strong opinions of someone in authority. That is not the purpose of authority. And we'll see that at the end, and I'll develop it. But again, to state it just in a sentence, the purpose of authority is to serve, not to be served. So the Lord indicates, though, that sadly, many of the authorities, many who have authority in his time and certainly ours as well, do not use their authority to serve, but rather as a kind of a tyranny. And there's an arrogance. He says here that, again, they preach, but they don't practice. Again, they make heavy burdens that are hard to carry for people. Now, again, I rather than restate everything the Lord said, let me just ask you, as you think about your own authority, whether as a parent or maybe in the workplace or because you have some stature in a club or an organization, whatever type of authority you have, let me ask you some questions about your authority, even as I question myself. So I'll make it personal, but you answer, you also make it personal. Does my authority and my use of my authority make wings to lift a person up? Or is it a dead weight that drags them down? Does my authority help a person or haunt him? Don't be somebody's nightmare, in other words. Does my authority carry others, or do they have to carry me? Does my authority bring joy, or dreary depression and sorrow and sadness and feeling just making people feel cast down? Does my authority help to unite people under my authority, or does it further divide them and embitter them? See, these are the questions that we should be asking, and also that those in authority over us should be asking. Now, again, there are going to just be times, as you know, if you have authority, that you're going to have to make decisions that are not popular, or that do, if you will, require things. You know, if you're a parent, you're going to just, your kids are going to protest in a half a second. That's kind of their job, though, isn't it? Isn't that really in the job description of a kid? You know, but Mom, Dad! But nevertheless, so this is not just some authority should be just this lovely thing where you're wearing a smiley face button. But the question is, are you and I using our authority to really serve, not just to apparently serve, but rather to really lift people up? And sometimes the best thing is the hard thing. It's not the easy thing. And a good person who has real love for people and authority under them says, no, we've got to work harder. We've got to do better. But he does that, or she does that, in love. And likewise, if you're a parent, you know, again, to insist on sometimes difficult things for your kids, because the difficult thing is the better thing. So this is not just some authority should be a big smiley face button all the time. But again, do I lift people up? Or do I weigh them down? Do I help carry them? Or do they have to carry me? See, and those are the questions. So there is, we've seen, the tenure of lawful authority. There is also the tyranny of arrogant authority. The third area the Lord warns about is the trappings of self-centered authority. So again, he talks about all their works are performed to be seen. They widen flax trees. These are there were these little boxes they wore in their head in those days, and so on. They lengthen their tassels. They like to appear all kinds of pious and all that, and they love titles and seats of honor, and on it goes. So in other words, first of all, when one is self-centered in authority, their actions are meant to be seen. I want people to think great of me. I want people to think I'm great, that I care. So they'll say all the right bromides. Oh, I really care. I care. I'm the one for you. And they don't really care. And they don't really care at all. They just care about themselves. They want to look good. They want to sound good. They want to be thought of as good, you know, and so on. So all their actions are performed to be seen, see. Or again, they parade their piety, a very similar idea. You know, I really care. I really love God. I mean, all these types of things. And at the end of the day, they're only doing it to be seen. They don't really love God. They don't really love you. They don't really care that much. And so again, it's not done because it's who they really are. It's just to be seen. Why? Because they're self-centered. And they see their authority as something that boosts up their ego and what makes them feel strong and powerful and proud and makes them look good. This is self-centered authority. And they like the trappings, and likewise then seats of honor and titles. Now again, we who would be under authority need to say, look, it's important that I should use people's proper titles. The Lord is not saying away with all titles. But he's saying that if you have authority, the point isn't for you to have the title, so everyone calls you by the title, but rather that you're living up to the title, and that you shouldn't have this hunger or desire for honors and for all kinds of titles and trappings of office. But rather, you really care about the people that you have authority over, and you're using it to serve them, not yourself. So the Lord doesn't say away with all titles. We ought to honor people with their proper titles. It's important. It's a way we show not just respect to them, but respect to the office and respect to the common good. So the Lord doesn't say away with all titles. Just call me Chuck, you know, from now on. Now, I don't need you to call me Monsignor or Father, but again, generally speaking, one way we show respect to people is just by using the normal proper titles they go by. There are some ministers from other congregations that go by Reverend or Bishop or whatever, and I don't say, hey, Joe. I say, hello, Bishop, Bishop Joseph, you know, or something like that. So again, this is not the Lord's way of saying away with all that stuffy title stuff, but he's saying that if you have authority, make sure that's not your real goal, because if so, you got self-centered authority. It's not about who you serve, it's about you, and you expect people to serve you and give you seats of honor and give you tips and big checks and give you these things, and you've lost your way. It's not real authority. So again, we've seen, just to review, the tenure of lawful authority. There is authority in this world, and generally speaking, we are to respect it and obey it. Secondly, there is the tyranny, though, of arrogant authority. And again, this lording it over and making heavy burdens for people and demanding that they serve me rather than I serve them. And then there is the trappings of self-centered authority. Well, we finally then come to the truth of Christian authority. And this is where the Lord comes and brings it all to a head. He says, look, don't worry about all these titles and things. He says, you have but one Father in heaven. That's point one. I'll get to that. Secondly, again, he says, the greatest among you must be your servant. That's the second point. So let's look at two fundamental teachings about authority from the Christian perspective. First of all, among Christians, all authority is always exercised among equals. Because one has authority and one is under authority, everyone has equal dignity. Notice what the Lord says. You have but one Father in heaven. Every one of you have the greatest title that you have. I don't care if you got a PhD and they call you, you know, the Germans are absurd. If you have three PhDs, they call you Herr Doctor, Doctor, Doctor. I don't care if you got three titles in front of your name and 16 initials after your name. Your greatest title is none of that. Is child of God. They call me Monsignor. They call the Pope, His Holiness, and you know, Pontifex Maximus. But my greatest title, his greatest title, anyone's greatest title is child of God, and we all share that in common. Are you praying with me? Whatever distinctions, whoever has to have authority and lead, that doesn't make them better. just means they have that role. So all authority is exercised among equals. Let's go right to the top again. The Pope has authority in the church, but he is no more baptized than you or I. And so again, his greatest title isn't Pontifex Maximus or any of that. It's child of God. Child of God. And the same, that's the same title you have. So we all have equal dignity before the Lord. Now, equal doesn't mean the same. There are different roles at times that we take up, but we all have equal dignity. So that's the first rule. You see, in the world, there's this tendency to equate authority with power, with being better than someone, more educated, more whatever. And some of those things may be true. Maybe a person does have more power or is more educated. Maybe they should be the leader. But in terms of dignity, no difference. No difference. The one who serves and the one who is served have equal dignity. So that's the first principle. You have one Father in heaven. That's the source of your dignity. Now, the second teaching, I've already mentioned it, but I said I'd come back to it. Authority in the Christian tradition exists for service. It exists to, so let me, this passage we have here is a shorter version of what occurs in Mark's gospel. But let me give you the longer version. Jesus noticed how the apostles were debating among themselves about who was the greatest. He says, guys, come here, huddle up. Time to huddle up here. You didn't do a good job on that play, all right? So they were debating about who was the greatest among them. All right, that's the context. And the Lord says, huddle up. Now look, he says, you've seen how people who have authority in the world lord it over people, and they make their power felt. He says, it cannot be that way with you. The greatest among you is the servant, even the slave of all. And so there is authority, but it exists for service. And he goes on to say, now he says, I come among you, and you call me rabbi and teacher and Lord, and so you should, for I am. But I have come among you as one who serves. For the Son of Man did not come into this world to be served, but to give his life, to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the Lord is saying, you understand, no one has more authority than me. But look at this. And he took a towel and he washed their feet at the Last Supper. Are you praying with me? So again, the Lord kind of has to say to all of us at times, huddle up. You have missed the point if you have authority and you think it's so that everyone, you can get your way and you have your power and all you do is get things your way and by gosh, everyone's going to run and step and fetch and gosh knows what else you got them doing. And if you think that's what authority is for, it is not. It is so that you can serve. Now take a teacher in a classroom. She has authority. She should. Sometimes you go to these classrooms today, you're not so sure. But anyway, she has authority, not because she's better than those children. She has equal dignity with them before God. Before God, we're all a bunch of snot-nosed kids, you know? God is not impressed with age or any of that stuff. We're very young compared to God. Are you praying with me? All right. She has equal dignity, but also she has authority. Now we're closing our math books. Now we're opening up our science books. But she has that authority not to lord it over them or just, I'm going to do what I please and you're going to help me to do. That's not, she has that authority to serve them, to love them and take care of them, you see. Now, if you have authority as a parent, it's the same thing. You have to command your children at times, and sometimes they're not going to always be happy, but at the heart of it, you're serving them and helping them to grow into decent human beings that you'd want to hang around with when they get older. You care about not just them, you're not just serving them, but you're serving the whole country. You're serving the church. You're serving. If you raise good children, you're giving a great gift to the world. And so again, but we always remember, I have this authority in order to serve, not to be served. So today, we've seen some teachings on authority. There is a tenure of lawful authority. There is authority in the world, and generally speaking, it is to be respected and obeyed. Likewise, again, there is a tyranny and some trappings of either self-centered or arrogant authority. But finally, there is the truth of Christian authority. It's always exercised among equals. And it's always for service, not to be served. I guess I'm just mindful of an old song, you know, that we all know so well. But it just, because every one of us in this room, except for maybe the very youngest, have some authority. And so let your theme song be, if I can help somebody. As I travel along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or a song, if I can tell somebody he's traveling wrong, then my My living will not be in vain. But the question for you and me to keep saying, that should be our theme song. If I have authority, and we all do, most all of us here, if I can help somebody, if I can help, amen.